Matthew
chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Father, we thank you for your word, and pray at this time that you would use it to minister to our hearts, to teach us your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pitfalls to spirituality. We find in the previous portion that Jesus had concluded by saying, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And then in verses 44 and 45 before that, he mentions how this is. It's by doing as God does, forgiving our enemies and responding to people as God responds. Here in this portion, then, we see some hindrances, pitfalls to spirituality, pitfalls to becoming perfect as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And in this chapter, there are three things that Jesus refers to. But all through the portion that we read, not only the three things, but there is one aspect running through the entire portion, the repetition of the word hypocrites. And so we'd like to look at that first as the first pitfall, and then subsequently as the other three pitfalls that are listed in these first 18 verses. The first pitfall is that of hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? The word actually is just a transliteration of the original word, Greek word hypokrites, and we get that from that our word hypocrisy or hypocrite. And a hypocrite, according to the meaning of the word, is an actor or a pretender or a stage player, one who is play acting. This is how the word was used in that time, and we find references to other usages. For example, in Matthew 15:7, where Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Ye hypocrites, well prophesied Isaiah concerning you, this people draws near with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men," quoting from Isaiah 29:13. And Isaiah has many other references to the hypocritical actions of the people of his day. Isaiah 48:1, referring to those who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. And Isaiah 65:5, which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nostrils. And so the idea of hypocrisy, it is a type of play acting, not real. And this hypocrisy appears, for example, in this portion in all three areas. We find our first 18 verses here talk about giving and praying and fasting. And hypocrisy occurs in verse 2, verse 5, and verse 16. All three of these areas can be affected by hypocrisy. Jesus refers in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1 to this thought, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. And so hypocrisy is like a leaven that spreads through and permeates the whole mass. What does hypocrisy do? Well, Jesus says here that it makes everything else worthless. If you give with hypocrisy, it is worthless. God won't reward you. Praying, fasting with hypocrisy, the hypocrisy makes it worthless. Men see what you do, and you did it, so men would see it, and so you got what you wanted, and you're left then with nothing from God. Just like you can't spend your money and save it at the same time, you can't deposit in the bank of heaven and at the same time spend your efforts to buy the praise of men. And so hypocrisy makes victory impossible in every other area. And so hypocrisy destroys victory. And specifically then applying it to these three areas, we find that the second pitfall then to spirituality would be covetousness in verses 1 to 4. Covetousness is a desire for more. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, we are warned against coveting our neighbor's house or wife or servant or ox or ass, and the thought there of not desiring to have what he has, but rather rejoicing that he has that, rejoicing with him, and not desiring to have it yourself and have him deprived of it. I was going cross-country skiing one day, and as I was getting my ticket for the trail, the fellow at the desk said, "When you decide to throw that jacket away, let me know." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, why would I throw it away?" He said, "Well, so I can have it." And the thing I noticed as he was standing there, it was a big cross dangling from a chain in front of him. And so I said to him, "Thou shalt not covet." And he turned around and got busy doing something else and didn't talk to me anymore. But I thought, isn't this it? We just want what everybody else has. And this is covetousness. And Colossians 3:5 says it's idolatry. It's the worship of things. It's a wrong temporal value system, a wrong attitude toward possessions. And covetousness then needs to be overcome. And Jesus here tells us that this covetousness can be overcome by giving. And so he doesn't say if you do alms, but when you do alms, when you give. Because giving defeats covetousness. When you loosen your grasp by opening your hand, then you are releasing those things that otherwise you would hang on to. But Jesus warns us then, he says, your giving has to be secret. Now, that doesn't mean you have to get all uptight about nobody ever knowing anything you do. But the thought is that you not do it for the praise of men. Because if you are doing it for the praise of men, it's not a gift, it's a purchase. That's what the Pharisees did. They would sound the trumpet, you know, ta-da-ta-da. And everybody knew that Rabbi so-and-so was giving a gift. Yeah, he got a lot of praise for a little gift, and so it turned out to be a good deal rather than a giving of alms. And this then increases covetousness rather than overcoming it. But Jesus says your giving must be for God and not for men. And if it's in secret, given toward God, then God will reward openly. And I asked myself, now, what does this mean? How will God reward? How will God reward openly? That means God will reward in such a way that men will see. And I think what he's saying is that men will begin to see you freed from your covetousness. And that's how God will openly before men reward you. Now the same thing with bitterness. Verses 5 through 15, we find Jesus talks about prayer, and this God has given this as an avenue for release from our bitterness. Bitterness is an unwillingness to forgive those who have wronged us. And you cannot come to God in prayer and really come before God in prayer with your spirit and heart open to God and not have Him make you aware of areas in which you may be bitter. Now, you can go through a ritual of prayer and never really get to God. And, in fact, you can go through the Lord's table, which is also meant to remind us of things that need to be made right, but without ever coming to grips with those things, because it's just become a ritual and it's done as before men. And so Jesus says here that this is overcome by prayer. Doesn't say if you pray, when you pray. We need to pray. But you cannot really have fellowship with God if you have bitterness in your heart towards another person. You can go through a ritual of prayer. You can say your prayers. You can run down your prayer list. But you can't really have fellowship with God and not be reminded of bitterness that's in your heart. And Jesus warns you won't be forgiven. You will not really enter into a fellowship with God in prayer if you got bitterness that you will not forgive. There's someone you won't forgive. And so he said, make sure your prayer is secret. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying with people. If any two of you agree as to what they shall ask, it shall be given unto them. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, many gathered together praying for Peter. And so it's not wrong to pray together. It's not wrong to pray with people, but it is wrong to pray to be seen or heard by people or for the praise of people, because then you got what you wanted. That's why Jesus warns against vain repetitions. Just nothing really to say to God, but you want to impress men. And this can be even praying alone. You see, you can even go in your closet and pray before men, in that you're impressed with your own vain repetitions, or that you fulfill your quiet time, and then you let people know how you have your prayer time each day. And so you end up praying before men even when you're alone. But God wants us to really come into His presence. And as we do this, we cannot really have that kind of fellowship if there's bitterness. And so if we really get before God, He will reveal to us the needs of our hearts, and as we get these things right, then we find that prayer then is the avenue by which we get rid of bitterness. In that there's where it is revealed, and there's where we forgive. Now, we might have to do other things as well and go to people and gain forgiveness. We may have to do good to those that we have forgiven. But it begins there at prayer, and you can't really pray. You can't really have God's forgiveness, which then ushers us into His presence in real prayer, if we haven't forgiven. And so prayer then is the avenue by which we recognize and overcome bitterness. But if there is hypocrisy, if we're praying before men, then we never get before God, and we can have all kinds of bitterness and not even have a clue that there is this bitterness in our hearts. And then the third area, the third pitfall to spirituality is moral impurity, verses 16 to 18. Now, moral impurity is using for selfish purposes the body that God has given us to glorify Him and to serve others. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and is not, you're not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so God has given us a body to glorify Him and to serve others, and not for selfish purposes, whereas moral impurity is selfishness. We're warned in the verse just before that, verse 18, Paul says, flee fornication. And the word flee there is the same one that God used when He spoke to Joseph and said to Joseph, Herod is desiring the life of the child. In other words, Herod's going to try and kill this child. And so you flee to Egypt. Now, that didn't mean, now just kind of be extra careful now, Joseph. It didn't mean maybe you better not stay in Bethlehem. It didn't mean even maybe you'd better go someplace else in Judea. He said, you get down to Egypt. And Joseph could have said, now, Lord, why so far? And way down there, and the people speak a different language, a different country. You know, do we have to go that far? And God says, flee. In other words, this is dangerous. And so also, we're told to flee fornication. And that means you've got to get a long ways away from it. Because fornication isn't just a little cliff you might fall off. And so if you just walk carefully, you can get very close and not fall off. Fornication is like a hungry lion who is seeking to devour you. It's like an angry monarch who will search out every nook and cranny of his kingdom to try and take you prisoner. And so you've got to get a long ways away if you're going to flee fornication. And we read in 1 Peter 2:11 that fleshly lusts war against the soul. Now we can see what leprosy does to the body, but only by faith can we see what moral impurity does to the soul. It wars against the soul. And how do we overcome this? Well, we overcome it by fasting. Fasting enables us to get a hold of ourselves. And that's why Jesus doesn't say if you fast, but when you fast. We need to fast. Denying ourselves our desires for food helps us then to deny other bodily desires as well. And so we must fast, and we fast secretly. Because if we fast for the eyes of men, we're really feeding our lust of praise. We're not really denying ourselves, but we are buying men's approval. So Christ says, fast in secret. And if you fast in secret, God will give evident victory in your life over impurity. And so we need to recognize the danger of moral impurity and the victory through fasting. But it needs to be before God and not to gain the praise of men. And so here we have three basic pitfalls to perfection. Covetousness, which is wrong temporal values, and bitterness, and moral impurity. And these are overcome. God has provided for these the channels of giving and praying and fasting. But these solutions can be voided by hypocrisy. And we can be doing these things. We can be giving and praying and fasting and have all kinds of covetousness and bitterness and moral impurity in our lives if we're not being real with God, if there's hypocrisy present. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They had hypocrisy, and so everything else they did was of no avail. And we find this exemplified in Luke chapter 18 and verses 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18 and beginning with verse 9. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here you have the pride of hypocrisy. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now notice this Pharisee. First of all, what he thought he was not. He said, I'm not an extortioner. Now an extortioner has wrong temporal values. He's a covetous man. He tries to get for himself. He says, I'm not an extortioner. He says, I'm not unjust. Unjust could refer to many things, but certainly one form of injustice is holding things against another person, bitterness in our lives. And he says, I'm not an adulterer. There's no moral impurity in my life. Now, what made him think so? Well, he said, because first of all, I fast twice a week. I keep my body under control. Then he says, I give tithes of all that I have, and so I can't be covetous. And of course, at this very time, he was praying as he was saying these things. implying that he had no bitterness against God or against anybody else. And so he was totally blind to his real needs and had no real victory in those areas because of his hypocrisy. All of this was of no value. And he went home not justified. No reward from God. No deliverance in these things because he was a hypocrite and he wanted men to see. Verse 14. All of this was to exalt himself before men rather than to be rewarded by God. And so if you're a Christian, if you really know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've been born again by personal faith in Him, then you have in your heart a desire to be like Christ. And when Christ says, be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, there's that desire in your heart, yes, Lord, I want to be perfect. I want to be mature. I want to be spiritual. But there are pitfalls. And the pitfalls are covetousness and bitterness and impurity. Thank God, He has provided a means of overcoming. And through the channels of giving and prayer and fasting, there is victory for overcoming these things. But these things must be done before God and not to gain the praise of men. If they're done for the praise of men, they become hypocrisy. And there will be no benefit at all in becoming like our Father, which is in heaven. In our hymn books, hymn number 52, we find a song, Oh, to be like Thee. And notice the stanzas of this song. We find the first stanza, Oh, to be like Thee, Blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. And so here we have overcoming covetousness through giving, forfeiting, giving our earthly treasures. And so as we sing that, we're dealing with the one area then of covetousness and of giving to overcome. In the second stanza, Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind. And so here we have the second aspect of forgiveness and the channel of real prayer where God is able to reveal to us any bitterness against others, any lack of forgiving spirit wherein He cannot then forgive us and we will be shorted on our fellowship with Him. Our prayer will not be sweet as it ought to be. And so we're dealing there with the second aspect of bitterness. And if you skip to verse 4, it says, Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love, make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life in heaven above. And so here we have the purity of the temple of the Lord, our bodies glorifying God in our bodies as well as our spirit. And so verse 4 then talks about purity and solution then, the means then for this, as we see that of fasting. And so then we'll sing verses 1 and 2 and 4, and we will close then with verse 3. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit. So here you have the victory over hypocrisy, which would destroy everything else. Lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave. And so we find here the victory over hypocrisy, which would destroy all of our other victories. Shall we, look before we sing, look to the Lord for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and that you warn us of some of these areas that are so dangerous for our lives, some of these things that would destroy our lives, that would keep us from coming into that fullness of Christ-likeness that you desire for us. Father, we recognize how these things would grip us, and how covetousness and bitterness and impurity would destroy our lives, and how even the means by which you have provided can become nullified through doing them in a wrong spirit and not really seeking your face, but doing it in hypocrisy like a play actor. So we thank you for this, and we pray that we might know victory in these things and become, as you have encouraged us in this portion of Scripture, that we might be perfect, even as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.